Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Orient Cement Q4 FY24 conference call hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Navin Sahadeo. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Manuja. Good morning, everyone. On behalf of ICICI Securities, I welcome you all to the Q4 FY24 earnings call of Orient Cement. Today, we have with us from the management, Mr. Deepak Khetrapal, who is the Managing Director. Without any further ado, I hand over the call to Mr. Khetrapal for his opening comments, followed by the interactive Q&A. Over to you, sir.
Navin did mention. I must say, as always, I'm grateful to all of you for your interest in our company and to continue to find time to be with us on this call. Thank you. Coming to the earnings for the quarter and for the full year, I'm sure all of you would have gone through the results and have seen and formed your opinion about them. The way we see the quarter that has gone past is like this. For us, honestly, it's been a challenging quarter. There is no doubt about it. Challenging in the sense that the typical volume push and volume, or rather the demand pull that we expect in Q4 in the market, remained elusive. I would say January, February were not so bad, but the month of March proved to be really the most difficult month. Not that we had lower volumes than last year. The challenge was in terms of very little growth or demand available in the markets that we serviced. And to that extent, because the demand was not there, we also saw the pricing. In fact, March slide in prices is what I would call brutal. I mean, throughout the month, almost every single day basis, the prices kept falling. And by the time we were exiting the month of March, on 31st March, the prices were nothing to talk about. So it impacted, I would say, our earnings, our EBITDA in the month of March dramatically. If you ask me internally how was Jan-Feb for us, Jan-Feb were pretty good. Where we fell short over last year in terms of our own expectations for growth was largely in the month of March. And because of the momentum that we were carrying from Jan-Feb, the overall quarter doesn't look as bad as March would have made it look if Jan-Feb also were equally bad. So in terms, I mean, frankly, it didn't turn out to be the usual Q4 rush for volumes and better prices. It didn't happen. All of us know it. Our volumes in Q4 have been, I will call them, flat. There's very marginal growth. And the realizations for Q4 also, I think in our case, at least now that we have seen the results coming out for a few competitors, at least we are one of those companies who had the realizations in Q4 as a whole slightly higher than realization in Q4 last year, whereas we've seen many companies slipping on that as well. In terms of volumes, sequentially, we saw fairly strong growth. We are 24% higher over Q3 volumes. But in these sequential, when we say the growth was there, 24%, but very surprisingly, the realizations went down for us by 5% and for some of our competitors, even more than 5%, which is where the real pain point really comes. For the full year, again, sorry, our volume for the quarter itself, as you know, 17.2 lakh tons that we have reported already, represent overall company level at 81% utilization. But really speaking, our challenge has been basically our old plant at Devapur, because our Chittapur, Karnataka plant, once again, has operated at more than 100% capacity. Jalgaon also has been fairly okay, although Jalgaon pressure was there earlier, but I think we managed to sort of claw back our market share in the market, which is serviced by our Jalgaon grinding unit. But Devapur continues to struggle in terms of overall capacity utilization there. I'll come to the reason, but like I said, overall 81%, but we do have one of our most important plants to be doing more than 100% capacity utilization. And that will bring us to the need for immediate capacity addition in due course. I'll come to that as well. The Net revenues, as you've seen, are at 895 crores. It's 1.6% higher. It's definitely better than volume growth because we had a higher blended realization, and that largely has been contributed by the share of premium brands that we have in the market, and they keep getting us, I would say, somewhat higher value growth compared to the volume growth. The realizations for the quarter blended basis at 5,130. Sequentially, as I mentioned, there's a drop of nearly 5% from 5,400 that we had in the preceding quarter. And over last year, they are higher just by under 1%. EBITDA at 156 crores is up from 117 crores in Q3. Again, a significant jump. But on year-on-year basis, the growth is there. It's a modest growth, I would say, just about 10, 12 crores overall. But the important part here is that we have growth in EBITDA, which again, like I said, the industry, some of the players that we see, they manage to perhaps do a volume growth much better than us, but their improvement in profitability, or rather the improvement in sales, came at the cost of profitability, because profitability in some cases has gone down despite higher volumes. And I'm talking about gross EBITDA level. At the EBITDA per ton level, we are definitely, the way we calculate, I know there's a difference between how the analysts calculate. We are, in our calculations, and we do it every year. So we know we are calculating our EBITDA per ton at 900 rupees a ton, which is higher than 840 rupees a ton from the preceding quarter and 843, which was the same quarter last year. So roughly, the growth is about 60 rupees a ton in our EBITDA per ton over Q3 and over Q4 FY23 as well. And given the kind of growth that we had in EBITDA in the first three quarters, our full year EBITDA, as you would have seen, is at 465 crores, which is higher from the previous year of 377 crores, which reflects a jump of nearly 23%. With volumes barely going up 6%. And that's the important part. Our volume growth of 6%, but the EBITDA growth is at 23%. And the annual per ton EBITDA is at 758 rupees, which is higher by more than 100 rupees over the full year FY23. But this, I thought, I'll just highlight in terms of what happened in Q3 and also roughly the full year. Revenues for the full year, you've seen, including our other income, is 3,200 crores, roughly, which is 8.5% growth. Like I said, the volume growth still, Q3, if people recall, was net 9%, but with the lack of enough growth in Q4, the total volume for the year is down to growth of just about 6%. In terms of the indications that we had given to the markets, we were actually, we ended up doing about 97% of the volume that we had indicated to the market, that we'll do about 6.3 million tons. We ended up short by about 3%. Realizations for the full year are better by about 86 rupees per ton, or 1.6%. And like I said, the EBITDA per ton is already, has gained more than 100 rupees. Despite not so great volumes or prices. And as I mentioned to you earlier, the large, I would say, dent in our performance as we see it internally has come from our Devapur plant, which largely services markets which are in Telangana and also in some parts of Maharashtra, mainly the Vidarbha markets, which are closer, which are serviced by us from our Devapur plant. Those markets have been underperforming. Telangana, North Telangana market, I think, has underperformed for everyone. I think in the last two quarters, I'm repeating this trend that Telangana demand somehow has not been where it needs to be. And in Vidarbha, we have the other challenge of new capacity, new competition having come up, and some of them are using even their incentives to, if I can call, subsidize their customers by selling their similar cheaper price, which makes it impossible for players like us who worry about our profitability to be able to compete with them and sell more. So Devapur remains a pain point, and we'll have to find some solution how to utilize that capacity better. And one of the solutions would be perhaps to quickly gain a grinding unit which takes us to a newer market from Devapur clinker itself. So that's what we are working on the plans. Just to sort of in a way flag it off, in terms of if you look at pure Q4, as everybody would expect, sequentially over Q3, Telangana also has improved by 12%. It's not that it's not grown in Q4 over Q3, But if we look at the real Q4 last year, we're down 26% in Telangana itself. That's one of the plugs. Our largest market, Maharashtra, which actually is becoming larger with every month going, with every day passing. In Maharashtra, let's say, we have grown 32% quarter-on-quarter, that is sequentially, and we've also grown 13% year-on-year in this particular quarter. In Maharashtra, the main consumption centers are there, and they are actually taking a lot of our cement, which we're happy about. Fortunately, like I said, those markets are helping us in terms of retaining the volumes where they are and growing there. The impact on that, as you would see, would perhaps be seen in terms of our freight costs, which seem to have gone up because the freight for us within the Telangana market or Vidarbha market is lower than the current markets in which we are selling more of our cement in Maharashtra. The full year sales you've seen are 61.3 lakh tons, which I mentioned is nearly 3% lower than what we would have wanted them to be. They're below our expectations. I've already mentioned the Q3 sales were worth 9% higher, which was in line with the industry, but I think in Q4 we've fallen behind the pan-India growth. I'm quite sure that the growth in our own markets that we have almost flat is in line with other players in our markets. I think if we compare our performance with the industry in our markets, I don't think we are worse off. Definitely on pan-India level, 6% growth on the whole makes us look poorer than what the rest of the industry pan-India has done. For us, due to our, let's say, more sales happening in Maharashtra and including in Mumbai and Pune markets, that has pushed us into our B2B sales have kept going higher compared to what we've done traditionally, I would say, a few quarters back. In the Q4 per se, they are at 55%, slightly lower than what we had reported in Q3 when we had actually gone up to 56%. Within that, the good news is that we are beginning to sell more of our blended cement also in the B2B market, and we're able to satisfy a few of our very important customers to buy our Concrete, our premium brand, which is sort of in a way, it is the blended cement. As a result, despite the B2B sales being 55%, our OPC sales are at 46% in Q4, which was 48% in the previous quarter. Last year, it was 43%, right? It's been, let's say, I would say, trend towards OPC mainly because large customers in Mumbai and Pune somehow remain OPC buyers. The one good thing I would like to just mention here, we are one of the few companies who also got our product approved for the bullet train project that is between Ahmedabad and Mumbai. As it starts coming up, the people who have the contracts for building that train, they will be buying cement from us, and with some of them, we already have been sort of in touch, and we've agreed on a supply of cement to the bullet train project in that project. A very prestigious project, and we are really delighted that we'll be participating in that project as well. On the premium brands, I keep mentioning all the time, the good news here is that in this particular year, we have managed to increase or rather grow our premium brands volumes by 31% in the year, and they are now in the region of 22% of total trade sales, and they are increasing consistently. What I would like to remind everyone is that when we say our premium cement, the premium that we charge on our premium cements over PPC is perhaps the highest in the market by any other brand. I'll just remind you, on Concrete, we do charge a premium of 45 rupees per bag over PPC. In Dolphin, actually, we've taken it further. We are in excess of 55 rupees a bag over PPC, and Orient Green itself is about 25-27 rupees a bag. There are different price points with different value propositions, but each of these three cements have been positioned to meet specific demands of the consumers. Because we are selling them with enough support at the ground level, we are able to get margins like this and still keep growing. At 31% growth year-on-year in premium cements is very, very heartening for all of us. The other good part is that we've reported that the first phase of our waste heat recovery at our Karnataka Sitapur plant had been commissioned in the early second half of the financial year. The second phase of that, which had been pending, has finally got commissioned on 29th of April. That is just a couple of days back. And with that, the total availability of power from there would exceed 10 megawatts of power, which is great news for us. And this investment, as you know, is hugely beneficial for us. And if I were to quantify just the gain in the just from the first phase of waste heat recovery, in Q4 itself, the gain for us has been over 11 crores. And phase two obviously will increase the savings further. So it, you can imagine how beneficial this investment is. We do expect that the annual gain from waste heat recovery for us would be easily be in, you know, minimum 50-55 crores a year. We are also, in a way, expecting the supply of solar power. If the investors recall, we have signed up with the solar power players to put up what we call the captive projects. So Jalgaon is going to be getting more solar power within the month of May. And I think our Karnataka Chittapur plant will start getting solar power in the month of June. So in this particular quarter, those investments will also start paying off, which should make our power that we use a lot more green and I think also cost beneficial from the shareholders' perspective. For Q4 per se, the power and fuel costs are at 1350 rupees per ton, as you would have seen, and they're down from 1421 in the preceding quarter and from 1571 in the Q4 of last year. Now, here is an interesting point. As I mentioned to you, our B2B sales and OPC has been going up. And as all of you would know, OPC actually, because it's not blended, it actually it consumes more power and it consumes more clinker. But the impact of that we've been able to mitigate through improving our efficiencies and also through now the contribution which is sort of keep increasing from the waste heat recovery plant. In terms of fuel mix that all of you always remain interested in, by weight, our fuel mix in the quarter has been 45%, I would say, 45% domestic coal, 34% pet coke, and alternative fuels 21%. And for the year as a whole, the same domestic coal is 49%, pet coke 33%, and AFR at about 18%. So that's our fuel mix by weight. In terms of blended fuel costs, this inquiry always comes in for the company as a whole. In Q4, has been 1776 rupees per million kilocalories, but I think many of you are more used to seeing here 1.776, down from 2.113 last year. Even sequentially in the preceding quarter, it was at 1.890. So those are the numbers that I know always there are questions around them, so I thought I'll give you up front. With the waste heat recovery and the solar power, which is already existing and operating for the last few years, the Jalgaon plant, the total renewable power in Q4 has actually become 23% of power consumed in Q4 and 11% from last year. As I did mention, with the second phase kicking in and the more solar power coming in at both at our Jalgaon plant and at Chittapur plant, this obviously will increase even further. But in Q4 itself, it's at 23%, which was just 11% last year in Q4. In terms of alternate fuels, I've already told you as a fuel mix that we've had. In terms of market mix, our growth in West, which has been making up for our Southern India markets. So today in Q4, we end up at West being, let's say, market where we sold 67% of total volumes. In South, it has come down from over 27% to 24%, and balance 9% central, in largely in Madhya Pradesh and some parts of Chhattisgarh, that continues to be constant. In terms of our consistent performance in terms of efficiency, we've gained, I mean, there is not too much room left for us to further improve on our either power consumption per ton of cement or heat consumption per ton of clinker, but I think we keep making some efforts and small little gains keep happening all the time on a continuous basis. In terms of costs, I've already mentioned, you people have seen, but in that, again, one of the key elements that we have to remember is while petcoke prices have been softer and obviously our profitability has gained from that, the domestic coal prices, which form still a significant part of our total fuel basket because our Devapur plant, which is dependent on domestic coal from Singareni Collieries, those costs actually have been going up rather than coming down. So we've been able to achieve the overall blended cost savings in fuel costs despite the fact that domestic coal is not quite in the same trend. So I thought that's an important differentiation to keep in mind. And power costs, obviously, with the solar and the waste heat recovery coming up, the significant savings are there and they will increase. On freight, as I've mentioned, it's higher, about 5% over the same, same quarter last year, largely driven by the fact that we are shipping a lot more of our cement to Western India market compared to our Southern India markets, which happen to be closer to our plants. And also, some change over sequentially does happen due to, some changes in the railway freights and the incentives that become available and things like that. Rail dispatches in Q4 have been at 16%, same as last year in Q4, but slightly higher in Q3, where it had gone down to 14%. In terms of key highlights, again, I would say our efficiencies, our power mix that is changing, our fuel mix management, and most importantly, our premium products share rising consistently in our sales mix is helping us, I think, in coping with the difficulties that the markets pose to the whole industry. So that's broadly, I think, on Q4 and the, I would say, even the full year, how that looks. Quick update on expansion projects that we've been promising the investor for a long time. Last quarter, I had said the public hearings had been scheduled in the month of February. Both at our Chittapur, Karnataka plant and Devapur, Telangana plant, public hearings have been held peacefully and successfully. The files have started moving. They need to move from the district headquarters to the pollution control departments, who will then forward it to Delhi for processing. I do believe that the clearances from MOEF may be held up till the new government gets formed in the month of June and new ministers get appointed. But as far as the groundwork is done, that has been done, and now it's a question of we being able to get the permission. And frankly, with all the public hearings and all the other, I would say, studies that we had to do and we have already completed them, typically it's a matter of just a few weeks when the MOEF in Delhi starts processing our application, the season starts processing. So I guess sometime in June, we will try and get those clearances. And then we can start talking about actual construction activity. So I'll stop here and wait for the questions that come up, and I'll provide more answers to the questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Sumangal Nevatia from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir, and thank you for the opportunity. My first question is, on your opening remarks, you were mentioning that March has been quite brutal and gradually it was a declining trend. Is it possible to share some more or quantify a little bit in terms of how was March exit prices versus the average of 4Q in our key markets, and how has been April? Have you seen some bit of reversal of this correction in the month of April?
Well, offhand, I'm not carrying all the details with me when I'm on this call, but obviously we have in the MIS. But most important part is that the reduction in price in the month of March went down to about 15-20 rupees a bag by the time March ended. And as we've been hearing about various parts, some people have said that in the March exit prices were the same prices that we had 2 years back. You heard about that. I think more important is in terms of how April has been. April, because of very soft volumes, we did see some improvement in prices in the first 2 weeks of April. But by the time April ended, I think most of the gain over March have been lost already. And my own fear is that till the demand picks up, and demand, as we know, April and even May is going to remain weak due to multiple factors. The most important in this, at this time being the elections which are on, the migrant labor who actually forms the bulk of the construction workers, they go back to their villages to cast their vote, and when they go back to the villages, they don't come back in a hurry. They take their own time. Second is we are seeing in large parts of India the heat that is on. It definitely creates additional challenges for the activities to be pursued at the required pace. The heat is also leading to some of the markets already feeling the pressures of water supply. And the water supply, if you recall from past years, whenever the water shortages become acute, many of the district authorities have just banned construction activity. So election, heat, water scarcity, overall put together, I personally am afraid that even May would be a soft month. And till the demand picks up, any noticeable increase in price, I think, is difficult to expect. But certainly April is better than March, I can tell you overall, in the sense that we did get about 2 weeks. And as of now, also, if you say, our April current price is somewhat better than March, exit March, because exit March was very poor. We are somewhat better than that, but very small. I mean, maybe 3-4 rupees a bag in many markets.
Understood. And this commentary, sir, is more for the South market or both Maharashtra, South, across the region?
I think overall trend in terms of, is across the region. South is a little more acute, but I would say the softness in prices in March that we suffered was across markets.
Understood. And sir, you shared the mix of West, South, Central. I believe that was for 4Q. Is it possible to share how was the full year?
Full year would be, I think the, let me just check whether I can provide you. No, I full year number, I'll have to again look up, but I think the trend would be somewhat, I mean, when we are saying 67% West in Q4, for the year as a whole also, it will be about 64-65%. It will be much different. So maybe 2% more has happened in West compared, and that has been taken away from South.
That's
so 67-24 might be 65-26. That's it.
Got it. That's very helpful. Sir, any full year guidance on the volumes for FY25?
Full year volume, I think we are dependent on how the markets behave. Q1 is proving to be difficult. If we talk to our industry colleagues, general sense is everybody saying between 6 and 8%. Now, if it's 6%, it'll be very poor. If it's 8%, it'll be somewhat encouraging for all of us. But I guess with the at least when we start the year, we start with a lot of not just optimism in the market, but also in terms of the new strategies and what we are going to be doing. So I would say we are going for 8% growth. If the industry is talking about 6, 7, 8, we'll go for 8% growth.
Got it. And just one last question, if I may, on the expansion. So two things. One, with respect to Rajasthan mines, have we started land acquisition there? And then on our South expansion, you shared that June is where you can basically start discussing about construction activity. So any full year guidance on CapEx and, I mean, I believe the first year would be largely announcements and ordering. So any sense on guidance on CapEx for FY25?
All things put together, I would like to, frankly, I would like us, our company, to spend around 1,000 crores within the financial year 25, made up largely because, as I said, as the MoEF clearance is going to happen around June, in the meantime, we'll obviously gearing up for completing our own internal work in terms of the configuration, the equipment, and maybe floating a tender and getting the quotation in also, so that as soon as we get the MoEF clearance, we can start placing the orders. We will not place the orders before the MoEF clearance is received, but I think rest of the activities internally we will be completing. So as a result of that, at the Chitapur expansion, I would say around 500 crores of investment I would expect to happen within this financial year. Same thing, there is progress with our, where we had been in touch with Madhya Pradesh Power Generation Organization. The board had cleared the proposal, the energy minister also has signed it. There's one little change in term that they imposed, which we are negotiating and we'll sort that out hopefully within the next 2-3 weeks and inform the stock exchange. That happening would actually mean that we should be able to start some work on the greenfield grinding unit in Sarni on the premises of Madhya Pradesh Power Generation Corporation. So that will be another, I would say, 200 crores, and balance will be divided. About 150 crores, I've been saying, would go towards the forest clearance for Devapur, and again 100 odd crores for Rajasthan land acquisition. So that's my current, I would say, ambition to spend money so that our capacity addition starts coming together in FY26.
Okay, so we've not started any land acquisition so far? I mean,
We started the negotiations. As you know, initially quotations come at all kinds of crazy prices. So if you store too much of a hurry, if people are talking about the agricultural land being available at a crore per acre, you have to be just holding your nerve and then, in a small way start the activity. Because the first quotations are just frightening if you go by them. So but that process is normal. Every time you go through the same process. Have you acquired any land as of now? No, but we are in close discussions.
Understood. Thank you so much for all the explanation, sir, and all the best.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Murarka from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning. On pricing, what you mentioned that the pricing fell continuously, and what we understand is that even the price hike attempts in April have not been too successful. So I was just wondering, where do we go from here? And now probably a month down the line, we'll be staring at monsoon. So how do you think pricing should pan out in this context of a sharp decline earlier and now still struggling to take price hikes?
Well, Amit, the honest fact is, when you say where do we go, as an industry, we have no choice where we go. It's all driven by the market demand and market supply. We have to take whatever it is. We can't go anywhere. We are part and parcel of the cement industry. So then your question was, where do we go? I don't know. We'll be with the industry. We can't go anywhere. See, investors can go somewhere else, not people who run the business.
Yeah, no, I was wanting to kind of understand your perspective, as I know that it's an industry thing, but Q4 generally was a good quarter for volume, and to the point that a lot of companies reported 90% plus utilization, and still pricing was weak, so which is a bit surprising to see. So
absolutely.
I was just trying to understand your view in that context, how do you think it'll pan out, and particularly given that monsoon is just now one and a half months away.
So Amit, my personal view as of now is that expecting a price increase till about mid-June, perhaps is not realistic. While the fear of monsoon peaking in does remain, but monsoon also has seen pricing relative to that time to become better, which is fine with us. At least if we start gaining over what we had in the previous monsoon, would be certainly a good sign. And I think, in fact, I don't know whether you heard in the morning, I was on CNBC, and there also the same question had come up. I said, look, when have we been able to see consistent trends in the way cement is priced in the market? Our challenge is in this industry, and my question very simple is, who could have predicted that the March price will keep sliding as they did despite the growth that you mentioned? Who could have predicted that? Which trend tells you that in March the prices will be like this? So for us to extrapolate trends has been very difficult. It's more from the perspective of saying, so where is the industry and where is the, let's say, likelihood of we being able to being able to expect some increase in prices. And all I mentioned is post-elections, post the government formation, and currently I think the large consensus is that there will be stability at the political leadership level. So we are hopeful that as the stability comes in and the government after the elections gets back to normal course, demand should pick up. And typically, again, in March it didn't happen, but it can't continuously keep happening the way March was. And that's where the hope is coming, because March became pathetically low. And we know as an industry that it doesn't help anyone.
Thanks for the insight. And also on volume, like generally that's the volume was also supported by higher activity on the infrastructure side, and mostly it's expected that there will be some slowdown in that, or at least the base itself is quite high. So is it fair to think that the volume growth from here will be kind of mid-single digits or possibly even lower in the near term, or you, based on the undercurrents or let's say generally the urban real estate pickup which is there, you expect that growth should continue to trend higher? So also some thoughts on that.
So Amit, again, what I think all of you also have quoted, the industry growth is likely to be 6 to 8%. We are definitely talking single digits. I don't think we have heard even from the industry that the industry will grow at double digits. Even six, when it says 6 to 8, the number of 6 itself tells you what the mood is, isn't it? Because when did we talk in cement industry, or next year, how much will we grow by 6%? It's unheard of. So obviously the mood right now is a little somber. Let's hope that post the monsoon, water availability, season becomes better, and all the, let's say, announcement that we've had from our Prime Minister, assuming that he will be back in power, he's actually been promising a lot more of activity. And I've been in some forums where he came in, I'm talking about business forums, he very clearly said, wait till June, and you will get huge, announcement from the government to encourage the economic activity. So we are all hopeful that those promises are kept up and we are able to participate in the growth.
Got it. And the last question is on the Rajasthan plant. I don't know, it's already discussed, but any update on that?
No, update only is that, as you mentioned, for a long time, for some reason, government authorities were not registered. The supplementary mining lease had been signed, but they were not getting registered, which was coming in the way of acquiring land also. So that is registered now. That happened during the Q4, and now that's how we could very seriously start discussions with some of the large holders of land, because if you start going to every small holder, it takes too long. So there are couple of opportunities of people who have large chunks of land, so we're in negotiation with them. Hopefully we'll be able to start closing them soon. But as of now, we are still in discussions.
Got it. Thanks a lot for all the replies. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anupama Bhotra from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. I just wanted to ask if there are any plant maintenance scheduled, and if yes, and when?
Any?
Plant maintenance.
Plant maintenance is a regular activity which needs to happen every year. Are there any schedule? Of course, they are scheduled. They are part and parcel of our running operations. And during the year, they'll be spread out. Typically, there will be about 3 kilns which will need maintenance during the year out of the total 4 that we have. And they will be scheduled, one perhaps will be happening in the first quarter itself, and after that, there'll be 2 more taken up in more towards the second half.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Keshav Lahoti from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, some sense on how will be the fuel cost in upcoming quarters?
Oh, fuel cost in the upcoming quarters. Look, as of now, I think the prices have been, I would say, staying a little soft and stable both. We've not seen them rising in a hurry, but it also could be due to the low demand that the industry would have in case the demand for cement stays low. Obviously, the clinker production slows down, and that puts pressure on even petcoke prices. Domestic coal prices is beyond anybody's comprehension to predict, you know, how the the miners were largely public sector companies, how will they behave? But I personally think the fuel costs should stay benign during this financial year. That's what my current reading and current hope is.
Got it. And what about Q1? Should we expect some relief in fuel cost?
Look, in Q1, it depends on if I am going to be largely, we as a company are going to be using the petcoke supply which arrived with us toward end of March. So in the current quarter, I'll be consuming the petcoke that I've already bought. Domestic coal price as of now are stable. So for us, no. But if there are, there has been a decrease over $10 per ton of international petcoke prices from the time we bought the coke and somebody ordering now. But the cash heavy somebody ordering now will not get the coal for 4 to 6 weeks, right? Because the shiploads of coal coming in, 4 to 6 weeks is typical time from the time you place the order and you get the coal in your devices. So my own sense is, unless somebody has ordered already 4 or 5 weeks back at a lower price of $10, by $10, that may come in for some of the players. But it's all a function of how their fuel stock was around the end March. We had a full shipload which had arrived, so we need to consume that in the current quarter.
Okay, got it. So fuel cost for Orient should be similar in Q1 like Q4?
Correct.
Got it. And on premium cement, we have a target to reach 25%. So should we expect by year end or maybe earlier?
We already have done 22% in Q4. So yes, definitely 25 should happen in FY25. Absolutely. We are very close to that. I mean, we are actually making faster progress than anybody expected from us.
Understood. One last question from my side. If the cement prices stays over here during the entire quarter, should we expect a decline like 4% in this quarter, Q1Q?
Sorry, come again. A 4% decline from the Q4 prices?
Yeah.
I hope not. So that's certainly not something that we are expecting.
Because the prices have been weak in March also.
They were weak in March, but April some recovery has been there. You are saying 4% from going down from here. That would be a huge hit. Very, very large hit. I personally don't expect that to happen.
Okay, so should it be more like 2-3%?
Even that is pretty high.
Okay. That's it from me.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Surya Nayak from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for your opportunity, sir. So, one question is that due to the land acquisition things, which is getting delayed, maybe the majority of the capex for the current year, which is around 1,000 crores, could be aligned to the second half. So, what kind of dates we see to come into books?
Well, debt is obviously going to be impacted by our cash flows and pricing and volume, because obviously whatever cash flow we generate, we want to consume the cash flow ourselves. My own guess is if I'm able to spend 1,000 crores on capex in this financial year, my own guess is we will perhaps around 600 crores of debt by that time is what my rough estimate is, if things remain as we want them to remain in the current year.
Okay, so if that is the case, then obviously FY26 will be having a larger budget of capex.
Yes, correct.
So what would be the, ballpark figure, what would be the capex budget for FY26?
If I were to complete these two projects, that is Chitapur complete commissioning in FY26 and also the Sarni grinding unit coming up, put together that's about 2,000 crores of capex, right? Out of which I'm taking this particular year just 600-700. So that is about 1,400-1,500 of capex that should happen in FY26 for us to have the capacity in FY26, both at Chitapur and also at the grinding unit which can support the Devapur capacity utilization more.
So next year, we could be having a date of nearly at least 700-800 crores?
If we have at the end of this quarter about 600, this financial year about 600, the debt perhaps could be even higher. But don't forget, we do have a net worth today of close to 1,800 crores. So there is no debt on our books, practically no debt on our books as of now. So So even if we have that, with debt equity was still about one, and our debt to EBITDA ratio will be just about 2-2.5. I think, which is fair. Nothing to worry about.
But are we not interested to time the accretion of the debt to the interest rate declining scenario?
Look, I need capacity to sell in the market. If I try to arbitrage on interest rates and keep losing the opportunity in the market, I don't think the shareholders will be served well by me.
Correct. And sir, another point is that are you seeing the interest rate scenario as the major impediment in the pricing, because more of the OPC consumption is happening, and that is actually not giving us a player like us who are focusing on the retail B2C side. So that is actually creating an issue, and because all the major players are operating at a healthy level at 80 plus. Even you are also saying that you are also at organization level at 81%. So normally it is seen that now above 75% the pricing powers generally comes in, but that is not materializing. So what is your stance with regard to the interest scenario vis-a-vis the pricing?
See, I personally do not think the interest rate has impacted cement pricing in the market. Even for the decision on when to put up capacity is driven by more by strategic reasons than the interest rates. Even at the current rate of interest, I think normally the expectation is that with the all, let's say, very hawkish policies being followed by the monetary authorities, they should be able to get the inflation under control, and then this interest rate would soften. My own guess is by the time we start borrowing from the banks, interest rates would have started softening. That's what my stance is.
Okay. And sir, what is your outlook on the petcoke prices for the second half?
My own guess is they would stay within a range of about $115 to $125 a ton.
Okay. So it will have no because the crude is also quite volatile, and little bit.
Interrupt, Mr. Surya. I request you to rejoin the queue for your follow-up.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sanjay Nandi from VT Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good morning, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So can you please share the lead distance for this quarter?
Lead distance, it has gone, we've always maintained, we just over 300, 310 in that range in this particular quarter because of our more dispatches into Maharashtra. It has gone up by another 10 kilometers. Maybe it will be in the region of 315, 320 in that range.
Got it. And so just a second question, like you mentioned, we have a significant new chunk of our premium sale in our total portfolio. So what has led to that significant jump in our premium share? Like what kind of products we're offering which the other peers cannot, like so as to increase our overall share in the premium share in the trade?
Please visit our website, orientcement.com. You'll see our premium brand starting with Dolphin, which is the most premium brand right now. That is a water repellent cement. Then there is Strongcrete, that we call it the forever cement, and the beauty of Strongcrete is there. I did mention that our cement is approved for the bullet train, and for the bullet train project, we have the approval for our Strongcrete. Just for information. So it's that good a cement that when it's compared with the OPC of other companies, our Strongcrete actually turns out to be better. So that's it has its own unique properties. I don't want to go through a full technical lesson on what each of the cement does differently. But obviously, there is a very clearly defined user value proposition for this cement, and that's why the customers are preferring to buy our product despite it being very expensive compared to what cement industry expects it to be. But there's a good value proposition supported by us through our engineering consultancy services, and that's the reason why the more and more customers are buying our cement.
So, sir, what are the specifications required for this bullet train project? Like, which you
said, I can't convert this into a bullet train specs. I mean, that you please go to the website, you'll see them.
Okay. Thank you.
I mean, that kind of a question I can't answer in earnings calls. What are the specs that bullet train is placing for cement? I mean, how do I tell you that on this conference?
Well, any grade I'm talking, sir. if you can.
No, like they obviously need faster setting time. They need much stronger performance from the cement. So all those things, it's long the specs given, which I don't think in an investor's call we can discuss. For that, there will need to be a special workshop on technicalities.
Got it. Got it, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Wish you well.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sumangal Nevatia from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, just one follow-up, sir. You said 23% renewable. What was it for the full year last year? And where do you see it going in FY 2025? And also, what is the maybe some unit cost saving versus existing mix, if you can share?
Let me just check. Prakash, our CFO, is in the line. Prakash, do you have the number for total renewable for the full year? Our full year will not be obviously as much simply because our waste heat recovery system kicked in only in the last 5 months of the financial year. The first 7 months, we didn't have that. Prakash, do you have the number? Can you share that, please?
It was 15%.
15% overall, okay, for the full year. And that's why the sharp gain is from the time the waste heat recovery kicks in. And this year, not only is the waste heat recovery another, let's say, nearly 2.5-3 megawatts coming in, plus we have more solar coming in both at Jalgaon and at Chittapur.
Okay. So what is the any medium-term target of the mix?
No, medium-term, by 2030, we are saying we'll be 50% renewable of total, including expanded capacity. That's the target we're working towards.
Maybe 40%. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prathamesh Dewar from Tiger Asset. Please go ahead.
Sales volume for FY24?
Sorry?
What was our volumes for FY24 overall?
Wow. Thanks for waking up so late in the call to have the volume for the full year. It's about 61.3 lakh tons.
Okay. And so, like, as the fuel costs are muted right now, as you said, so how are we looking at our EBITDA per ton for the coming?
Look, as I mentioned, the muted, now we are talking about a scenario where the fuel costs have actually softened, and I have already reported significant fall in this year compared to last year. I've already mentioned that. As of now, we're assuming that the prices of fuel will remain around this level. Would they go down from here? It's very difficult to say. There's no trend in the market which says that it goes down with any significant manner from the current cost. So I would be happy if they stay the way they are and don't get disturbed by all the geopolitical disturbances that are going on.
Okay. So, sir, so by looking at the current scenario, as you told, not going down, so what EBITDA per ton you are guiding or you are looking at for coming, let's say, FY25?
The EBITDA per ton is going to be impacted by two things. One, how quickly, since from June onwards, can the prices improve? That's always the biggest differentiator in EBITDA is coming from the pricing of the cement, right? Then we have the internal strategies of increasing our premium product sales as a proportion of our total sales. So that is one lever that we are using. Second lever that we are using is no matter what the fuel prices in the market are, if we are able to get more power from our waste recovery plant and from solar, that's the other lever that we're pulling. So I would say, given our internal levers, I would expect that a gain of 70-80 rupees a ton on EBITDA.
70-80 rupees. Thank you, sir. That's it from my side.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. The second last question for the day is from the line of Rajesh Kumar from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good afternoon. And congrats on decent numbers. Sir, I wanted to understand what could be the clinker production in FY. What would be your clinker production in FY24?
FY24 clinker production you want? That's a new question. I've never heard this question before on this. But if you want, I can. If you give me a second, I'll pull out. Prakash, again, since you have all the numbers with you, total clinker production FY24. A new question, completely unexpected, out of syllabus, as they say.
Yeah. So.
If I may say, total clinker production FY24 was 47 lakhs, 4.7 million.
Thank you.
4.7 million, okay. And sir, how, if I look at your CC ratio, this seems to be slightly on the around 1.3x. So do you see a chance of this improving from 1.3x to closer to 1.4x? Your clinker utilization is already 90%.
Yeah, no, it will happen with the B2C demand picking up. As I mentioned to you, B2C demand has been very soft for us, at least in the states that we run our business in. And the only way for us to improve that ratio is by selling less of OPC and more of blended cement, right?
Okay.
So certainly we want it, because our consumer, the B2B business going 55-56, a fairly recent phenomenon. It's happened only in the last few quarters. Before that, we've always been selling more to B2C customers. Unfortunately, the B2C demand in this particular market that we service in the last few quarters has been poor, and that's how OPC has gone up and the clinker to cement ratio has become adverse. We are trying to improve, but also it's a function of how quickly the consumer market picks up in cement.
Okay. And this Sitapur project, 1,600 crore, you had earlier guided the CapEx size. Because of any, these delays and all, do you expect this CapEx amount getting increased? And is it fair to say that by, say, June, July, you get it, and 18 months you have guided, it will take 18 months from there. So the project may be up and running early FY27?
I would say before end of FY26, we might target so that the first quarter of 2027, we can get the full capacity after stabilization. So our target would be last quarter, FY26.
Right. And this MP grinding unit, this can be completed in 1 year, early, mid-FY?
1 year is difficult, but 15 months for sure, we'll try.
15 months. So by year-end also, you are targeting this?
Same, around the same time, a quarter here and there, around the time Sitapur clinker capacity and grinding capacity comes up. Grinding unit, I want, again, like I said, at least fourth quarter of FY26, but the attempt will be in quarter three of FY26.
So, just to understand, for next 2 years, 2025 and 2026, focus will be only these two projects, Sitapur and MP.
Correct.
The CapEx would be spread out equally between 2025 and 2026.
A little less in 25, more in 26.
Okay. And most of it will be back-ended in FY25, because only when you get the clearances in place.
Correct. Correct. Absolutely.
Any risk you're looking at, like in FY24 or CapEx guidance initially, which you had started off the year with a thought of 1,000 crore, but we ended up just spending sub-100 crores?
You're absolutely right. The problem has been the, let's say, slow progress that we've had with the various clearances. You know, and right now it's hurting us at the Sitapur plant, where I said the demand is a lot more than we're able to sell from Sitapur. So that obviously is hurting us now. I wish we could help it and we could have done better, but we are where we are.
Okay, great. That's all from my end. All the best. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Navin Sahadeo from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for patiently answering all the questions. I just had one question, more from a, like, you know, longer term point of view, that if I were to take a five, six-year view for Orient Cement, of course, you have already kickstarted the expansion at Sitapur and a grinding unit in MP as such. But from a other CapEx or a growth point of view, the priorities, how do they stack up? Will it be a Devapur or we'll prefer a Rajasthan and, or can these two together go hand in hand? How should one look at a slightly longer five, six-year point of a directional sense, if you can get that, will be really helpful. Thanks.
Navin, it's more a question of our capability to have the land in hand to start construction in Rajasthan. As you know, anybody who had Rajasthan mining is, the desire would be to put up the capacity first in Rajasthan, because all of us know that we need that benefit, diversification of the markets for us, right? That takes us to northern markets and other more lucrative markets.
Unfortunately, a greenfield project these days, no matter how much we want to do it, will take its own time. So, and in that sense, even earlier when you asked me the question, I have the same answer. I wish I could get the land in a hurry at a reasonable price and start that construction first of all. Unfortunately, that's not possible.
Understood. Understood. So in line of, at least as of now, the visibility is, let's say, a Chittapur expansion.
Chittapur, Madhya Pradesh grinding unit, Madhya Pradesh grinding unit, Devapur, and Rajasthan in parallel, whatever we can do. But at the moment, we are able to push Rajasthan, we will, because that we need to be there.
Understood. That's very, very helpful. That's it from my side, and look forward to yet again another interaction.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I will now like to hand the conference over to management for closing comment.
Thank you, but I think all the comments that I needed to make have already been made in while answering the questions that people have had. So thank you for asking some probing questions again and giving us the opportunity to give you our side of the story fully. Always thankful for your support and look forward to talking to you soon again. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.